The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, our WWL Saints sideline reporter, also our WWL digital content producer, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, guys, good to be here. I'm fully reacclimated to humidity and the central time zone, so I'm feeling good, ready for football.
Yeah, it took a little bit more. The time zone stuff, you get over that much quicker than you will this heat and humidity. But here's the good news, Jeff. You just got two more months of it.
Oh, yeah, two more, yeah. And then you just get slightly less of it.
Just a little bit. Because that winter time and fall is all kind of questionable here when that comes in play. Jeff, from everything I've been able to read, Jake Haener had a really good practice session today.
Yeah, I think Jake, I think he's had a rough week or so. I thought both backup quarterbacks really showed well in the first preseason game. And then I think they may have stumbled a bit coming out of the blocks in the second week of the preseason. But I think Jake settled in. He had a really nice stretch. He had probably what I would say was his best kind of team set of camp. I think on like three consecutive throws, he had a really nice ball to James Robinson on a wheel out of the backfield. Then the next rep, he hit A.T. Perry on a crossing route. It was a good anticipation throw. He put it out in front of him, let him run to it. It's a good opportunity for Yak if you were getting Yak in a practice. And then he had a nice ball up the seam on like a skinny post to Stanley Morgan. I just thought he was really sharp today. It was also a funny moment. There was during individual drills, we're inside for this. We're all kind of standing there, kind of actually just waiting for team drills to start because you see all these individual drills, they all kind of blend together after a while. And I think at one point he was just seeing how many of us were paying attention, and he kind of just rifled a ball into where we were standing, the media. He may have been aiming directly for me because if I hadn't moved, it would have hit me directly in the forehead. But it was just kind of a funny moment because I'm pretty sure he did that intentionally to say, I'll see who's really paying attention.
This write-up stuff, y'all write about that now.
You're right. It was like a Hunger Games moment. It was weird. But, he had a solid day. I thought Spencer played well, too. And, this is a good time for them to be kind of rounding into form because, that backup competition, I don't think it's settled yet. I think it's very much neck and neck. And it'll probably come down to this final preseason game. I don't know how much we'll see of Derek Carr, if we'll see him at all. So if you do end up going out there, I'd expect to see some starters. I would expect to see, Trevor Penning, Ole Udo, those guys as they're competing for that job, maybe some other first-team offensive linemen. But I wouldn't be surprised if you go out there with one of those two guys starting the game and the other guy finishing the game, and you really kind of weigh it from there. But, no, it was a good day for Jake, and I think he's shown well the last couple days.
We get it every day. Where's Mason Tipton? Okay. That's all y'all wanted to talk about during the trend. Okay. I can't bring him to Lourdes to cure him, but he has been fighting an injury. But he has been doing some work now with Mason. So the thoughts, does he play Sunday? Or is this a decision similar to – I know you and I had this discussion – on Rashid Shaheed, because we never saw him in training camp.
They kind of hit him.
Never saw him. And then all of a sudden, he pops up on the scene. Will this be maybe a similar scenario with Tipton?
Well, if you recall, Rashid Shaheed did get cut, right? So, yeah. It's not like they're trying to hide it. They weren't trying to hide him to keep him on the roster. They may have been trying to hide him to sneak him onto the practice squad. I don't think that's what's happening with Mason. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. So, he wants to be out there. And I think for his chances to make the roster, it would be very beneficial for him to be out there on Sunday. Now, can he do it? That's the question. We saw him getting some work in today, some individual work, but he didn't get into any team drills. He's still working his way back. This was the first day that I think we've seen him take that step. He's been working off to the side with trainers previously. That's the frustrating part of camp injuries, right? Because you're looking at it and saying, exactly. I think this guy has a legitimate shot to make the roster, but when you don't see it in a preseason game, when you don't see it on the field, you're kind of just having to guess. How do you weigh that against some of these players who have been out there? You know, why do you weigh that against a guy like A.T. Perry, who he's kind of the opposite, where you see it all in the preseason games, but you don't necessarily see it in practice, right? So how do you balance those two things? I'm hopeful that Mason can get out there. And I think there's a couple guys on this roster who are kind of fighting through some things now for the exact reason of, I want to get out there and put some things on tape so I can point to them and say, this is why you need to keep me around. So we'll see. But no, I like Mason. I think he showed a lot over the first 2 weeks of camp. He just had a really unfortunate timed injury, and we'll see how that goes. But I do think one way or another, you want to keep him around. And, you know, maybe from the Saints' perspective, maybe this does help in terms of, you know, who's to say you were able to get him onto the practice squad previously. If he's unable to put anything on tape that other teams can actually see, what would they even be working off of if they're going for a waiver claim? So, no, I'm hopeful that even if he doesn't make the initial 53, that he's going to have a chance, much like you said, like Shahid, who I don't think got out there till week 6 of his rookie season, to potentially be one of those like game day elevations, make some impacts, and make the roster that way.
Bobby and I were talking about this yesterday, so I'll get your opinion. I think the Saints keep 6 corners. Because if you look at it, everybody healthy, with Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, Alante Taylor, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Ugo, because he is the nickel guy, and he can help you on special teams, so that's 5. Does Rico Payton become the 6th, or do you go with Shamir? Because he's got some experience in this league. Man, that cornerback group, and I wouldn't have said this a year ago, but I think you may go with 6 this year.
Yeah, you know, the Kool-Aid injury really complicates that conversation to me in terms of, I don't know what your outlook is for him to get back for week 1, but you're sitting there not sure exactly where you are with Marshawn, at least I'm not sure, with Marshawn and Kool-Aid, and suddenly your cornerback depth feels a lot different than it did going in, where I felt like he would be comfortable going with 4 guys and maybe loading up on an extra safety. Ugo's an interesting question because I kind of view him as more of a safety. So, like, if you're looking at him as a special teams contributor and that, like, you could throw him in the cornerback group. It's kind of weird. I do think you probably have to keep at least 5, you know, like, because you are unsure where you are with those injuries, right? And if Marshawn, for whatever reason, can't go week 1, who do you throw out there? Do you move Alante outside, or do you keep him in the slot? I'd rather keep him in the slot if I can, because that's where he's been working, and that's where I feel like he needs to keep building confidence. But yeah, Rico would probably be the next guy on that list, and a guy like, you know, Rajon Wright is in that conversation as well, Shamar John Charles. But 6 would be tough, just because you know it's a situation where, okay, we can keep 6 corners. Where are you getting those? Where are you taking away from at another position? Are you losing a linebacker? And does that hurt you on special teams? Are you able to keep, are you now in a situation where you can only keep 2 quarterbacks instead of 3 and you have to make a tough decision there? So, you know, that's where, you know, it's hard to have the depth conversation at individual positions without weighing it across the entire roster.
Yeah, because to me, 6 makes sense early because of the unknown with Lattimore, unknown with Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a situation where you do have practice squad elevation, so you don't necessarily have to keep all of the corners that you might want to play week 1, right? So that is a factor, and this team has not been shy about using those practice squad elevations as they need them. Jonathan Abrams started on the practice squad last year. They called him up 3 times and then signed him, right? I think they did that with Kenny Stills a couple years ago at the wide receiver position. So they do understand, especially when it comes to those kind of, you get 4 spots in the practice squad for veteran players. And so, you know, is that a situation they look at again? Do you do the same thing you did last year with Jonathan Abram? Right? I think that's a conversation. But, no, I do think that you look at this cornerback depth and you feel a lot different about it because of those injuries. And Kool-Aid, you know, anytime you're dealing with a knee thing, you don't want to mess with it, right? Like, you don't want to have a rookie in his first NFL game fighting through an injury that he could, you know, worsen, right? So I think they're going to be extra careful with him in that regard. They're not going to rush him back. I wouldn't be surprised if you do keep six to answer your question.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jeff, hopping to the offensive line, it's good. Some good news today with Taliese Fuaga returning to practice. I mean, how did he look? How many reps did he get? And then, you know, kind of an early projection on if he's going to be playing and getting some reps in preseason game number three.
Yeah, he didn't look limited, right? Like, you didn't see a guy laboring, and if he was still fighting that back injury, kind of like Kool-Aid. I don't think you're pushing it with a rookie at this point, especially for practice, for a midweek practice. So the fact that you're able to get him in today, you know, 4 days ahead of the preseason game, is a good sign. You know, I didn't see any issues from him at the left tackle spot. I think you do want to get him out there on Sunday if you can, because, you know, he's a guy you're relying on week one of the season to start a left tackle, and he didn't get to play in week two of the preseason. So if you can get him more reps, you definitely want to. You know, the other question is, okay, how much do you play Ole Udo? How much do you play Trevor Penning? Landon Young got some work at left guard today with you know, working in with Lucas Patrick. Lucas left yesterday early with some cramps. I don't think that's anything significant, but I think by my count, we've seen six different players take first team reps at left guard. That might be the most I've ever seen of any individual starting offensive line spot. And you see, you're talking about Nick Saldivari, Shane Lemieux got work there, Lucas Patrick, Kyle Hergel, Ole Udo, and Landon Young. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of question marks still at this point on the offensive line. And to me, that's concerning, right? I think at this point in the preseason, you'd really like to have that group locked in. And I think you do have that with three spots, right? You have that left tackle, you have that at center, and you have that at right guard. But two of those spots are, in my opinion, still completely up in the air. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they land on that. I still think you're going to go with Trevor week one. But, you know, getting Ole Udo these reps now, to me, is kind of a sign that this is a team that wants to be prepared to make a change if they see a situation where it's like, we can't go this route any longer, right? So we'll see how that goes.
I think it does affect, too, if Lucas Patrick is your left guard. And I think there's some indication that's what you may do early. Then yeah. Who's your backup center? Because when you brought in Lucas, okay, he might have been a swing guy in that sixth spot, but also he was going to be the backup center.
Right.
Now you're really retooling things if something would happen to Eric McCoy. Now, people say, oh, Sam Marbot's saying that. No, you better run that through your head.
Be prepared for it.
Because offensive linemen get hurt more than any other position on the field, and you better be prepared for it. One of the things Bob and I talked off the end, and we talked about it before we got Jeff Duncan yesterday, was, Mike, how many guys you think? I said, man, you know, three at the least. I think four is probably maybe some moves they'll make. Jeff was, you know what? I think four is the minimum. I think it's maybe five or more moves this team makes before the start of the season, either waivers or sign a free agent or in a trade. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned the injuries, right? Sincere Haynesworth, you know, he, I mean, that's not a situation he could have avoided. He's blocking, the defender rolls into his left knee. I think it was an MCL injury. Now he's waived with an injury designation, so he's no longer there. That knocks away a guy that maybe you could take a look at as your backup center. But, no, I agree. I think the plan going into this offseason was, hey, Lucas can be kind of that swing backup on the inside, with Landon Young being that swing backup on the outside, right? You could have Lucas Patrick potentially be your backup at three different positions, at center, right guard, and left guard. Now, if he's your starting right guard, or if you're starting left guard, yeah, who's your backup center? You could say it's Cesar Ruiz. The guy's done it in the past. But I think the offensive line group is just a little, I don't know, I don't think they like the idea of having to change multiple positions when one guy goes out, right? Like, you want to be able to make that change with one guy. And if Eric McCoy gets hurt and then suddenly you're replacing the center with a backup and the right guard with a backup, that's just poor planning. So, no, you do have to figure something out. Shane Lemieux would be a guy that I'd say, hey, he's an option, but based on what we saw against the 49ers,
not a good one.
That's something that you like.
At this stage.
Some of those snaps were rough.
Yeah.
I think he might be your backup right guard. He might be a guy that you keep around as an interior backup, but I just don't see how you can go in and say, oh, we feel comfortable with him as our backup center. So, no, Kyle Hurdle's a guy that we've seen get snaps at left guard. We haven't seen him work at center, although he can play center. It's just not a route that they've gone with him yet, and probably because he's a UDFA, you're just trying to get him comfortable at his main position. You're not trying to ask him to do too much. But no, I think you are going to make moves, right? And it's going to depend on, you know, who's available on the waiver wire. Are you throwing guys on the practice squad and taking care of some of your depth issues that way? When I talked to John Benton earlier in camp, you know, he basically said, we want to be able to go 9 deep with players that, you know, we're comfortable playing, not just guys you have on the roster. And you look at this kind of group, and I don't think you can get to 9
no.
with players that you want to put on the field.
No, right? I agree
so
with that.
There's definitely going to be some openings available, and it's just a matter of where you look at it. There's so many question marks. I'm currently trying to figure out what I'm going to send Jeff Duncan because he does his media survey every year of what's your record prediction?
Yeah, I sent mine already. I wasn't going to change it off a preseason game.
Well, I'm not changing it off a preseason game, but when I did my initial projection off of the schedule coming out, I had him at 10 wins, right? And what I've seen from the offensive line is kind of really, really driving me to put that number down at least 1 win, maybe 2. And I think that's what it costs you. It costs you confidence.
Yes,
it costs
it does.
You the ability to say, we're going to be able to do this on offense because we can trust the protection is going to be there. If you can't trust the protection, then you just don't know what you'll be able to do on offense, because if you're going against a team with an elite pass rush, they could blow up the game on you, and then suddenly it's like, okay, can we win 12-10? That's a tough scenario. You did it back in 2019 when Teddy Bridgewater was starting, but that's not a high percentage scenario. So we'll see how it goes. But I think that offensive line position, if this season goes badly, if this season really goes off the rails, it's going to be because you can't protect the quarterback.
I agree 200% on that. Final question for you, Jeff. Over and under on how many times during the game we're going to hear about Tajay Spears. I put it at 3.5, and I'm going to take the over
yeah,
on
I'm
that.
Slam the over, Mike.
On that deal.
Oh.
But the Kendra Miller situation, this looks to me like, man, you just hear the tone of your head coach, and it's not good that they're going to put him injured reserve, whatever, and just kind of figure it out later. You don't know what you have in Kendra Miller at this stage, other than the fact he can't stay on the field. And they're going to be linked in time until both of them are out of the league. Tajay Spears, Kendra Miller. I would throw the A-chain in there, too, because he was there when the Saints picked, too. But whatever. It's always going to be the local guy going up against what happened with Kendra Miller. What do you think happens with Kendra?
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, hindsight, you look at it and you say, man, it would be nice if they just went the kind of fan favorite route anyway, because that would have been the easy choice, right? Get the local guy in. And it sounds like that would have worked out to their benefit if they had done that. I think it was a scouting thing, and they felt like this Kendra was the prospect that fit what they wanted to do. Now, here's the thing. It's a different offense now. So who's to say that Kendra, his skill set, fits better than some of these other guys who, you know, not necessarily guys who were drafted by that kind of old regime in terms of that old offensive scheme. Dennis Allen has not, I wouldn't say he's done the best job in the world of veiling his frustration when it comes to Kendra and his inability to get on the field. And, you know, it's really just a matter of he's being honest about the situation. And a lot of coaches would probably couch it in more coach speak than he did. But basically, it's like, we don't know what we have in Kendra Miller because we have not been able to see Kendra Miller on the field. And, you know, we're not talking about, oh, okay, well, he learned the offense last year, so he can just step right in. You know, one of the reasons I think he's going to land on IR is because even if he's a guy who you look at and you say, oh, he'll be ready to play by week 3, I don't think they'll be comfortable playing him in week 3 because from the time he gets back, then he will have to ramp into actually working in the offense and learning the protections and repping the protections and doing stuff like that. So, like, I think it's a situation where whenever he does get back, you're going to have to go through all of that process with him in real time in live action. So that's just frustrating. And you're talking about devoting a roster spot to a guy. There's other guys who have been here competing, right? And how do you manage that? So, no, it's definitely a frustrating situation, right? And I think it's frustrating for people who would much rather be rooting for Tajae Spears in the first place. It's frustrating for the coaching staff. It's frustrating for the offensive coordinator who's installing a scheme and trying to figure out what he has in a young running back. And it's frustrating for a position group that is littered with older players, right? You're talking about Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams. You'd really like to say, hey, we have kind of a new guard that'll be ready to take over when these guys, you know, start to fall off, or if they have already, and you've seen that over the last few years. You can't confidently say that with the young running back in the room. So, you know, I think some people would look at it and say DA needs to chill on some of the brutal honesty when it comes to the injury situations for Kendre. But I think you also look at a guy that, you know, we heard early on that this was a frustration, that we're talking about, hey, you got to figure it out, right? You got to do the work. You got to do the prehab. You got to do whatever. Deuce has been talking about it for months.
Yep.
And then to see this play out the way it did, and to know that background, that there was already a level of frustration going in, it's not hard to see. It's not hard to kind of read between the lines and understand that this is not a healthy situation right now, no pun intended. So we'll see how that goes. Like you said, I think he is going to be an IR candidate to start the season, and we'll figure it out. But right now it's Jordan Mims' season, and we're going to have to see what he has to offer.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it. One last note to finish this off. If you think Dennis Allen was frustrated, he lucky wasn't here when Sean Payton was here. Sean would have blew the cork big time on Kendra Miller. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time, insights, buddy. Thank you.
Sure, y'all have a good one.
All righty. Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, also at WWL. He's our digital content producer.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.